But let's pray. Father God, as we come and we open up your word tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit show up, because you're the teacher, you're the instructor, you're the one that guides and provides for the church. So it's irrelevant of what I'm doing. It's relevant of what you say and what you're doing. So show up, set captives free. If there are people that are suffering from any type of disease, Lord, liberate them, even online. Free them, Lord, from their illness, their sickness. If anybody's battling thoughts and frustrations of the heart, approaching a season of a gathering, and maybe they're lonely, maybe they don't have anybody, and maybe this is why this is not a good week for them, but Father, you set solitary in families, and you are the one that is a father of all fathers. So embrace us tonight and help us, Lord, to have a heart expression of thankfulness and gratitude. Thank you, Lord, that we have much to be thanking you for. Our nation has much to be thanking for. Everything that we have is because of you. And that's our position, and we're sticking to it. Where would we be without you? We could do nothing, the Bible says. Without him, we could do nothing. So you're everything tonight, so show up as we open up the book and we open up instruction. Lord, teach us and instruct us like you will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many are ready for the word tonight? I have a quick message, just 2 points. Here's the message title, The Power of Gratitude. The Power of Gratitude. I kept on confusing this when I was kind of studying for it, the word gratitude and generosity, and I couldn't understand why until I started fleshing out the text that we're going to go over, and I started seeing a word morph into a position in action, because grateful people are generous people. And generosity is what God's about, because in the beginning he made and created, and when men fell apart, Jesus came on the scene and gave himself sacrificially for us, and he gave the best for you and me. So out of God's personal self-sacrifice of being generous to us, and we become grateful people and we're productive people, where this generosity and the expression of it is because we're grateful. So the text I'm going to launch out of is found in the book of Luke. And if you turn there, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 48. But before I go there, you know, studying for this, the practice of gratitude is actually, there's a science behind it, the science of gratitude. Scholars and very learned individuals have focused on this word gratitude for mental health. And they have kind of did their research, and if you go online, there's all kinds of health benefits by being a person of gratitude. When you feel positive in your emotion, when you deal with adversity and build strong relationships, it could also reduce depression. It could give you better physical health. Grateful people have fewer health complaints. Think about it. Such as headaches, digestion issues, respiratory infections, sleep problems, increase in happiness. Gratitude can lead for long-term improvements. An overall mood and emotional state of mind. Improve mental and decision making. Expressions of gratitude can improve emotional regulation of making positive decisions with people around you. It can increase your brain activity. Gratitude can increase the frontal cortex. This is where the science comes in. Associated with decision making and emotional stability, social behavior, increased production. The feel good chemicals when you're grateful is an expression that we find with an increase of dopamine levels and associated with feeling of contentment and closeness and happiness. That's the science of people that have gratitude. Now, I'm not going to just explain scientific method. I'm going to go back to the Bible and what the Bible teaches about a reflection of gratitude in this story here found in Luke. Follow along with me in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 presents us with what the Bible says, a sinful woman who approaches Jesus. In Luke 7:36 says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went home and sat down to eat. Then a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, and she brought a beautiful alabaster box filled with expensive perfume. And she knelt behind him at his feet weeping, and her tears fell to his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing and kissing and kissing his feet, putting perfume on them. So here we have a scenario of a woman the Bible calls a sinful woman who heard where Jesus was at and of an expression of gratitude brought her most valuable possession of an alabaster box and didn't care who was in the room but anointed Jesus' feet with it and dried it with her hair. It's a picture that creates this beautiful opportunity for us to position ourselves of what it is to be grateful. An active force of where the text is highlighting an expression of an importance of gratitude through action and behavior. She just didn't want to say she was thankful and grateful. She wanted to express it to Jesus. Was something that was very valuable to her. As a matter of fact, if you study the text out, you would see that this same woman, and there's debate of who the woman is, but I believe it's the same woman that anointed Jesus after his death. So this is actually a prophetic position of this woman that she had no idea what she was doing, ushering the Savior of the Lamb to die for humanity and anoint him pre-death. What a position God put her in. And her position was a grateful position. So the word gratitude is a feeling of being grateful or thankful. It's an emotion with a similar application. It's more specifically designed through a phenomenon of a sense of happiness and thankfulness in response to a fortunate happenstance or a tangible gift. I find myself right now saying this over and over again in my prayer time. Thank you, Lord. I'm a grateful son. I'm a grateful son. I'm a grateful son. We're grateful people. That God did not forget us. We're grateful people that God has us by his hand. Despite what the world is saying, despite what they're doing, God is on the throne taking care of you and taking care of me. And an expression of gratitude is, thank you, Lord. We're grateful people. I'm a grateful child of the King. I'm a grateful person. I'm a person of gratitude. I find myself thanking God for every little thing, including my little dumb dog, who frustrates me to no end. Took that dog on a walk, and I'm walking by a man, and boy, he looked like a real pleasant man, and I'm thinking, okay, well, will she behave or will she not behave? So I have her by the leash because I have to, and this man walks right by me, and before I could do anything, she whips around and almost nips the guy. And I'm thinking, thank God he didn't turn around. But even though I still thank God for that little animal, because when I was doubting out in my healing journey, she was a faithful dog that loved me to life. She was there all the time. When I was quarantined, she was around. You know, I had to walk. I had to walk because they told me that I had to exercise. So guess who was my walking buddy? My wife and that little dog. And the little dog teaches me many, many times, especially when we're not home and we come through the door. She's jumping up and down, and she's a grateful little doggie to see their owner, to see her owner. In the same way, we need to reflect Christ and what he's done for us and never forget this power of gratitude, because gratitude is rooted in the definition. Samuel Crabtree said this: gratitude is rooted in the definition of consciousness of God's presence and provision, including salvation. That's where God lives. He's chasing after and looking for a grateful people. That's why Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it." Doesn't matter how the day is going. It's God's day, and he's given it to you, and he's given it to me. This is the Lord's day. We could rejoice. It doesn't matter our circumstance. This is God. God gave us a new day. Be good and be happy and be grateful. That's why it says in Colossians, devote yourself to prayer and being watchful and thankful. Thankful. Generosity is a part of our prayer. Thank you, Lord. Even if I can't see my prayers being answered, I am thanking you every day. Because one day you will answer them. One day it will drop and I will say, oh my Lord, where did that come from? Thank you, Lord. My position and my demeanor and my attitude is I'm grateful. Not conditional. We don't put conditions on God. Blessed, Psalms 89:15 through 16 says this: blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you and walk in your light in your presence. Oh Lord, they rejoice in your name all day long. And they exalt your righteousness. Somebody said it this way: gratitude makes a sense of our past and brings peace to our today and creates a vision for tomorrow. That's what gratitude does. It paves the way for good things to come. Or you could be grouchy. And I choose to do the opposite. Because you might not have all the resources you want, but by and large, according to data that's pretty factual, we're the richest people on the planet. When we look at globally and how much people have, how much you have, it far outweighs how much the world has in every way possible, especially here in America. I say this, you know, America's gotten spoiled with all the provision. We take advantage of things. We can't wait for nothing. We demand everything, and we're not grateful for nothing sometimes. And God has to change this. And this state of gratitude is where you accept and believe and surrender and finally say, God, I am a person that chooses to live in this gratitude lifestyle. And that will change your perspective. I guarantee you, when you wake up tomorrow, before your feet hits the ground, just say, thank you, Lord, I'm grateful for everything that you're doing. And it will change your whole perspective for the whole day. We don't have to be negative people. We don't have to walk around depressed. We don't have to have this cloud over our head, because there is no cloud. We have him, and that's all we need. And he knows everything, including your trauma and pain. And God gives us the victory, like we just prayed, like we were just singing. Gratitude gives us a hopeful perspective. Gratitude is a choice. It's a position that you take, because staying negative torments you. It depresses you. Man, I know God is good, but man, how come I don't have this? And how come he hasn't answered this? And how come he's not doing this? And I keep on asking him. Why don't we change our position and say, yes, Lord, I'm a grateful person. I'm a person full of heart gratitude, whatever comes my way, because I'm a blessed man. We're a blessed people. And we have this thing inside of us. So this picture that this woman paints for us is amazing because it's a reflection, number one, the power of gratitude will reflect in your worship. Worship is defined with two words, worship. You put value to who you're putting value in. That's worship. So she positioned herself to be a worshiper by bringing very costly anointing oil to Jesus. As a matter of fact, the alabaster perfume, the Bible notes this, and some have translated this, that it was as costly as $40,000 to $50,000 worth. She brought a gift, man, that was unbelievable. And this alabaster perfume was an anointing oil, actually. It's a devotion to Jesus' worship, her willingness to sacrifice something greater than herself, her willingness to just let it all go at the feet of Jesus, showed us her grateful heart, showed us her demeanor, like, yes, this is costly. Yes, I could use it. Yes, I could spend it wherever I want, but you're more worth it to me than anything else. That is the position of a grateful heart. When you look at this, her worship and devotion, where she gave Jesus the most expensive item around, demonstrated her belief and her self-love in the master of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where even the religious leaders neglected to. And they did, because they were judging her. I love what C.S. Lewis, I read this the other day, and I said, wow, this is this amazing quote. C.S. Lewis said this, "Praise to God almost seems to be inner health made audible." Praise to God is inner health made audible. So a healthy position as a Christian is a praise position. That's why I love what Tiva said tonight, is praise is your weapon. When you don't see it, praise God. When you see it, praise God. When you do not have an answer, praise God anyway and be a grateful people. That praise and that expression is an inner health of your most valuable possession. And our most valuable possession is not things at all. It's God in him, the hope of glory. So here's a question for you. What does your worship look like? What does your worship look like? For Mary, it cost her. Your gratitude should cost us. That's why I kept on commingling this word with, you know, this awesome declaration of what it is to actually have a power of gratitude commingled with generosity. Commingle with generosity, because when you are grateful people, you are generous in all things. You're generous with your time, you're generous with your resource, you're generous with your investment to people, especially this Thanksgiving week. Please be generous to the people that are around you. And please be grateful for all you have. You know, I gather this Thanksgiving without my mom, without my dad, without my brother. And I miss them a lot. I know where they're at, and I know they're in eternity, and they're fine. But there's an empty spot at my table. But even though there's an empty spot at my table and I still grieve over the loss, I still know they're forgotten, they're not forgotten, and they're missed. And I'm a grateful son because my parents gave me the greatest gift that any person could receive. And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. They invested in me and my family a most valuable possession, and that's why I say every morning, I'm a grateful son. I'm a grateful son because I have Jesus. I'm a grateful son because I have salvation. I'm a grateful son because I have hopeful expectation that he's coming again for his church. I'm a grateful son because Jesus is alive and well, and he's not dead. And he's all over. If we change our attitude, then maybe our position of worship would change. If we change our perspective, maybe. Look at this text, Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 through 4. Jesus heals a man of leprosy. Suddenly there was a man who approached him, knelt before the Lord and said to him, "If you're willing, can you make me clean?" Verse 2, Jesus reached and touched him. "I'm willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Instantly. He just said it. It was gone. And then Jesus said this. "Don't tell anybody about this." Yeah, right, Jesus. "Don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go yourself to the priest and examine you." Look at the text. "Take along the offering required." He was just healed. This is just not a legal thing or transaction. This was a spiritual thing. Take an offering that was required back to those at the temple and offer it unto the Lord. There was a commingling of gratefulness and sacrifice. There was a commingle. So hear it in. Here's the lady with the alabaster box. Here's a man that just got healed. And Jesus is saying, hey, go take your offering as well as your healing to prove how grateful you are. This could change the way we help people. This could change the way you live, my friends. Because with generosity is commingled with this idea of being grateful, we could change the world. Like Jesus commanded this guy. So the implication is the offering of inspection would be proof to tell this man, this healing cost. And I'm obligated to him to offer this sacrifice. So here's the next question. The next question is, what sacrifices are you making, giving proof of your gratitude? Where's the living proof? Don't just say, "Well, I show up to church." Great, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're online. I'm glad you come. There's a dying world out there that needs for you to be a grateful person to express this heart of gratitude of what you want to show the unbeliever, especially. Especially in this world that doesn't have anything of value. They worship things. They worship people. They worship every ungodly thing known to man, but they don't worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you do. That's why your attitude needs to shift to be a grateful person. A person of gratitude. So when the checkout line is going crazy and it's long, and you're running out of time and patience, just say, "Hey, it's a good day to be alive. I'm glad I have money to buy these things. I'm glad I could eat. I'm glad I have." When others don't, it's a good day. It's a great day to be alive. Shift your attitude to gratitude and watch what happens. Miracles break out all over the place. If you change your demeanor and your expectation and your attitude to God, watch what God does to you. Watch how he changes this reflection of a miracle that's priceless into a heart of gratitude. So number two, the power of gratitude will reflect in your service. Back to Luke. And when the Pharisees invited him, he saw himself and this man were a prophet. Pharisees are assessing what just happened. They said, "I perceive you're a prophet. What kind of woman would let a prophet touch him, since she's a sinner. There's the judgment. And then Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, tell me. Pray tell, tell me. So Simon replied, and 41 says this, Jesus told him a story of a man who loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver and 50 pieces to another, but then neither of them could repay them. So that's the story. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. And suppose, do you suppose who loved him more? And Simon answered, well, I suppose the one who canceled the larger debt. And then Jesus says this, verse 44, you answer right. Then he turned to the woman, expression of sacrificial worship and gratitude, turned to the woman and said, Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. And then he said this, put him on blast. When I entered into your house, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my own feet. She said, wash. But she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't even offer me anything, and she offered me everything. Verse 45. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from this time when I first came in, but she has not stopped kissing my feet. Wow. This is powerful. Because Jesus is showing and telling. Because Jesus is not just about, okay, I got all the religious things right. He wants an expression, right? He wants an expression of worship, and he's contrasting what you didn't do and what she did. What you didn't do, didn't offer water to wash, to clean my feet. You didn't even kiss me when I walked in the door. And here's this lady hasn't stopped kissing my feet. What an expression. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. And she anoints my feet with rare perfume. Verse 47. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. She's shown, here it is, much love. But the person who has forgiven little shows only a little love. And Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Here's a question for you. How valuable is a miracle? He just forgave her sins. How valuable is that? In comparing and contrasting to the Pharisee who offered nothing to Jesus, to the poor woman who offered everything to Jesus, then had this attitude and reflection of, I'm here to serve the king, and I don't care who's watching me. I don't care if I'm embarrassed. I don't care if they judge me. I'm going to give everything to the feet of Jesus and be at his feet. I'm going to worship the king. I'm going to anoint the king. I'm going to dry his feet with my hair. And I'm going to do it with a grateful heart. How many debts have you been canceled? How many things that have you been released from? How many accidents have you avoided? I'm convinced, man, our angels do double duty on us, because the way you and me drive, especially on these freeways, you know, how many things have you owed, have you been released from? What's the cost of your freedom? Our reflection of gratitude needs to land on service, because God has so generously provided for me. I want to provide for him and others. That's our demeanor and our position this Thanksgiving. How can I serve you all? Well, I don't want to invite everybody because they eat all the turkey. Give it all away. Make another one. Be generous. I love what we do at the Rock, and today was a demonstration of that, of how we seeded this community and knocked door to door and handed all these turkeys out. We have a video for it. After I'm done, you'll see it. And there was a lady that came with a little baby, and in the back, she came up and got saved, and in the back they were talking to her, and somebody connected the dot. And here was the dot that was connected this morning. Ma'am, how did you find the Rock? How did you get here? She said, well, someone just knocked at my door and gave me a whole turkey dinner. And I told my husband, we've been looking for a church, and they found it this morning. And out of the Rock's generosity, the Lord opens a door for salvation here this morning. Amazing, amazing, amazing. We didn't do it to feel good. We do it because it's kingdom business. Kingdom business opens the door to people that don't owe us anything. Here it is. Well, what do I owe you? Nothing. Maybe they will hear the gospel through our action and our generous spirit and our generosity and our hopeful expectation, because we didn't will knock at that door and say, here, take it. We said, here's a gift to you, ma'am, and your family, and it's a gift out of generosity. It's a gift out of hopeful expectation. Here, take it. And here we see salvation produced from that miracle of giving. This is what I'm talking about. So the question is, how do we pay this thing forward? Too much is required, too much is given, much is required. We owe God a lot. I owe him a whole lot. The power of gratitude will reflect in your worship, and the power of gratitude will reflect in your service. You know, this is why we have Thanksgiving communion. Because in the communion service, we come before the Lord because he came before us and sacrificed everything on the cross for us. And out of that generosity comes a grateful heart to the people that receive salvation. So our communion service is a grateful service. Our communion service is an expression of God's gratitude for salvation, and our translation is, we're among his people. Thank you, Lord, for showing and shining the light to unfaithful, unlearned, undeserving men. How grateful are you? How grateful are you? How grateful am I? Tonight, we've seen two thoughts. It's a reflection of your worship, and it's a reflection of your service. So here's an action item. You know, just today, the Lord reminded me, you know, you forgot this in your journal, because I have a little gratitude journal. And I'm an action item for you guys is keep a gratitude journal. Everything that comes, just write it down. Thank God. And the Lord had me write down. I have it in a journal, but I didn't actually state it. So here's how I stated it today. Lord, thank you for blessing me with a house. Because I read this morning that there's a palm tree in my house. And in the Roman Empire, they often had palms everywhere because of there was a sign of victory, because the Greek translation is a sign, a symbol of victory. So palm actually branches and palm trees are signs of victory. And when the Lord gave me this house, he put a palm tree right in front of it. And he helped me reflect an attitude of gratitude with, Lord, thank you for giving me victory in this time when everyone's in fear. And in this time where no one is supposed to be doing these things, here, this is a symbol of you giving me the victory of land. And you giving me an opportunity where I didn't have it. You've given me, I'm a grateful people. Because you're a powerful God, because you're a God of victory. You're a God of war, but you're a God of victory. Listen, folks, God doesn't lose, and he will never lose. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the book of Revelation says it. He wins, and you win. And out of that winning spirit is a heart of compassion, generosity, and and this heart of gratitude. That's the power. Change your attitude with gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful. I don't care if I don't see it. I don't care if I don't feel it. I know you're alive and well, and you have your time, and you have your method. And in due time, I will receive it. That was the apostles' attitude. So your action item is to keep a journal. Keep a prayer journal. So with everybody's head bowed and every eyes closed, it's not the altar call yet, but I want to reflect on some of this. Lord, today this is approaching Thanksgiving week. I want to take the time for all of us to respond with a heart of gratitude to God. As we approach this Thanksgiving, there are many things to be thankful for. All the things that we've been grateful for, all the things that God's so been generous for. So we put our faith in action, and the question for us tonight is, Lord, take this heart of mine and change it to a heart of gratitude. And what are you thanking God for? Make your list. Your family, your friends, your job, your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids. What are you grateful for? There are so many things. Church, there's so many things to be grateful for. What are you grateful for? If you're online, do this online. Make your list. Present it before the Lord. I'll give us a little bit of time. Make your mental list. You can, or you have a physical list, you want to write it down, write it down. Lord, I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for. Lord, we're grateful people. Spend some time with Jesus. Holy Spirit, give to your memory what you need to be grateful for. Maybe something last year happened. Maybe something 2 years ago. And you forgot. It's time to bring it to the forefront. Say, thank you, God. Maybe you were worried, you were depressed, frustrated, just frustrated. And the Lord created an opportunity where you never thought would happen. Didn't write it down. You said thanks and moved on. Let God bring that to your memory tonight. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Grateful people. Thank you, Lord. Lord, tonight, we approach this season with this power of gratitude in us that we never, ever, ever forget what it cost you to get us where we're at. the time, energy, and effort, the plan of salvation, the victory in darkness, the provision where you had none, the miracle of healing and restoration of your family, your kids that were wandering that were now found, and your life that was a mess that now has been turned into a beautiful message of hopeful expectation for others to see, a testimony that victory that you had. We're a grateful people. And this is the power of generosity in us, Lord, that we wake up every morning, every day, and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for not neglecting your children. Thank you, Lord, for time in and time out. If you're lonely tonight, if you're heartbroken, thank the Lord. He has an answer for you, because he was lonely and he was heartbroken. If you're sick in your body, cry out to the Lord. There's an answer. If you're not feeling well and you're depressed, there's an answer to that depression. If you're suffering loss, let God fill your heart with hopeful gratitude that you're not lost from him. You're the apple of his eye. And he forgets not, the Bible says, of all that's the investment that you've made for his people. And in Hebrews it says, God has a long memory. And he will never leave you or forsake you or never abandon you, even though you might think different. He's a faithful father. And we're grateful people. Thank you, Lord. The power of gratitude. Did you get anything out of it? God bless you, Pastor Teresa.
Beautiful. What a way to go into this week, right? Thank you so much, Pastor Doyle. You know, when you're given moments like that and you begin to run through the layers of your life and just begin to proclaim thanks for all of it, right? Thanks for every bit. It does exactly what you said, right? It changes our hearts, right? It brings that generosity forth. It's such a beautiful thing. And as a church, we had an opportunity to be generous, right? It's an overflow of our gratitude for all God has given us and all God does for us and just being present in our life. He is our life-giving source. We had an opportunity this week to go out and reach out into our community, and the video team was out there and they captured some of that. So we want to show you that on the screens right now, just before we go into a time of giving, right? So as you see this, watch the video with just gratefulness that we get to go out and bless the community that God has placed us in. Give your attention to the screen.
Hey, Rock family, we're out here today with our InReach outreach. It is such a blessing that we get to come out here and provide turkey meals, not just for our church family and church members, but as well for our neighbors. Just as Jesus said that we are to love our neighbors, that is what we get to do today. It is amazing how many people are being blessed. We had 173 people sign up for turkey dinners and 50 dinners that we gave to our neighbors just to show the love of Christ. So I want to thank you, church. Because you are faithful with your giving, we get to do events like this. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Hi, Rock family. Behind me is our Thanksgiving distribution. I just want to say thank you for your heart. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generosity to make things like this happen. We are at a great church. Happy Thanksgiving, Rock Church family.
So that was the testimony you heard Pastor Joel share about somebody who received one of those boxes right here in our neighborhood, showed up in service this morning and receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Her life is changed for eternity. What an amazing testimony. So I hope your heart is now ready to overflow with generosity and to sow, to give into the kingdom of God, so that not just an overflow of our own gratitude, right? But we also do it out of obedience. We also do it because we trust God with every aspect of our life, right? And He invites us that as we set apart that first 10%, as we go above and beyond that, even with what we call our offerings, right, that God is faithful to take care of ours. He's faithful to bless that 10% so that our 90 stretches and it meets all of our needs, not just in our lives individually, but also as a church. As we sow, God also blesses and multiplies our needs. So there's a lot of ways to give up on the screen. You can see that they're giving electronically. There's a tap to give. The simplest way is just stretch your phone out to that little plaque right in front of you in the seats, and it'll jump to the page where you can give. But if you brought a physical offering tonight, so what do I mean by physical offering? If you brought cash or you want to use your credit card to write out an offering on our envelopes, we have got some envelopes for you. If our ushers would stand up and just hold up those envelopes, and if that's you in the house tonight, if you just raise your hand, they'll hand you one of those. We got some ushers in the back, so even if you can't see them, just go ahead and raise your hand. They can see you, and they will get those envelopes to you. As you prepare your offering, whether electronically on your phone or you're filling out the paper, I'm going to go ahead and bless the offering. You can keep working on that even as we pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us so much to be grateful for, God. I thank you, God, as we've learned tonight, that our gratitude overflows in our worship, it overflows in our service, and it overflows in our giving. Thank you, Lord God, for the faithful givers who are obedient to you, who trust you with their finances. I thank you, God, that you bless the gift, that you make it more than enough for the needs of this house and the outreach that goes out into our community, and that as we give, Father, you take care and you provide for us in our everyday lives, Father, in our homes and in our families, in our clothing, in our food. You make sure that we have more than enough for every good work. Thank you for the opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God and to entrust you, Lord, that you're going to use this to spread the gospel, meet the needs, and continue, Lord, to send your word out through this house and this people. In Jesus' mighty name, we're grateful. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. I got a couple of announcements before Pastor Joel comes back and got some more information to share with you tonight. We have an exciting couple of weeks coming up called December Night Lights. You're like, what is that? As you walked in tonight, you saw the beautiful Christmas decor all over the courtyard. We're starting on December 8th. We will be having a light show every PM service. I love going to see Christmas lights this time of year, and it's amazing that we have them so well done and so extensive all over our campus, accompanied with music. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor, share the word, invite people to come see the Christmas light, not night lights. We'll also have cocoa and coffee outside. It's just going to be a great atmosphere, so take advantage of that opportunity starting December 8th all the way to December 2nd, right before Christmas, every PM service. And Thanksgiving communion service. Thanksgiving's on Thursday, as you all know. Wednesday night, we're going to be gathering together to be grateful, to take communion, to focus on Jesus, to express our gratitude as a family. So join us here Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and let's take communion together as a church. We also have Girls Night Out coming up, and we need help. All the men in the house, we need you to come out and help us host this event, make it an incredible time for the women in the house just to focus on Jesus, to open up Christmas, and let God move in our midst. So if you're available, sign up to help us out on a Girls Night Out, which is December 7th, that Saturday. We'd love to have you help us. Give your attention to the screen. Pastor Joel will be right back.
Christmas, Rock Church family. We're so excited. This is the best time of the year, and we have so many amazing ways to get involved and do life together during this beautiful season. So Pastor Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about Project Christmas Tree?
Project Christmas Tree is an amazing opportunity that we have as a church to give to the youngest members here at The Rock for those families who are potentially going through financial hardships.
I loved Project Christmas Tree because my kids, we would go and pick an ornament off the tree, and each of them would pick one according to their age or their gender, and they got to get involved. So that is a really cool way for families to get connected together. There are several ministries that you can get involved in this year. Just go right on out to the foyer, and we have cards available for you. And on the back of the card, it has everything that you would need if you're out shopping with your family. It's a really great way for you to get involved during this Christmas season. Rock Church, go ahead and take a look at what you get to be involved in here at the Rock Church during this Christmas season.
The Convalescent Ministry will take hundreds of gifts filled with love, joy, and Christmas cheer. Our Homeless Ministry will reach out to those in need of the basic necessities of life. The Rock in the Streets Ministry will take hundreds of Christmas stockings to the streets of the Inland Empire. The Prison Ministry will donate items to various prisons and provide dinner to a juvenile detention center.
If you're looking for another way to get involved as a family, we have a packing day where we all come together and we pack the gifts that we are going to be giving to the families and to all of our outreach programs.
So it is required that you register, so you can call the church offices and get all the information and register your families there. Thank you, Rock Church, for getting involved. We love you. Let's continue to love people back to life. Bye, Rock Church.
Awesome. Because we're a grateful people, we're a generous people. That's what that's about. That's what this season is about. Before I start into the altar call, I just felt the Lord do this. Chap, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for all your service, the hours, the investment, the serving those that no one knows about. Year in and year out. God sees that as valuable. And I know you're approaching a new season. And that's great. But that season of sowing is because why you're in a new season. Because your heart was so generous to the neglected and the forgotten. All these convalescent hospitals that have no one visiting them. Year in and year out, you're there, my friend. And God says to you, he's happy with that service. And he's grateful to you for that. So thank you for letting me share that. God bless you. Awesome. So I don't know where everybody's at spiritually, but if you get on these crazy freeways, then people do every day and die. There's reports of accidents and incidents that happen. I don't know where you're at spiritually. But if you was to die tonight, where would you be, in heaven or in hell? That's a question I pose you. That question has to be posed because we can't assume that you're saved. Just because you show up online on campus, that we assume that you're saved. Nowhere in the Bible we could make those assumptions. As a matter of fact, throughout the Bible, it doesn't make those assumptions. People think because I attended a service or because I have some religious jewelry or because I know people that are religious, that guarantees salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does that teach that. If you look that somebody, a star or some famous person passes away, the narrative of Hollywood and the media is, well, there are good people. I know they went to heaven. That's assuming that they were saved for their good works. Nowhere in the Bible says your good works. I'm glad you do them. I'm glad we're asking you to be generous and to be, hopeful and have this expectation of generosity this season. But that doesn't guarantee our salvation. There are many, many generous people that Jesus walked by that didn't find eternity, didn't find heaven. So we can't assume that you're saved. Well, Pastor, I think I'm saved. Well, you can't think your way to heaven. I don't find a text in the Word of God that where you could think your way to heaven. You could somehow mentally calibrate yourself in some spiritual form of reality to save yourself. That's a grand assumption that leads to failure. Well, Pastor, I was brought up in the church. I'm so happy that they took you to church and you went through catechism and you went through schooling and you did this indoctrination. You were even baptized as a child. But there's no guarantee that is your salvation. See, the Bible doesn't assume salvation. As a matter of fact, it says to examine yourself. Examine yourself to see where you're at. So that's what we're doing right now. I'm having you examine yourself, your own spiritual heart, your life. That if you somehow got sick and died or ended up in a hospital with a heart attack, where would you wake up? Where would you be? This is a question that we ask from this pulpit because that's a sacred question. That we honor God from this pulpit every service that we do. We don't assume anything. And I don't know you and you don't know me. I might know of you, but we don't know each other intimately, but God does. He has a plan for you and he has hope for you, but do you want him? Matter of fact, in John 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus who is very religious, very respectful, very honorable, and very, very good. And Jesus asked him this question. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And it topped this religious person on his side because he could not understand that question. Confused him. So much so, he asked Jesus, what does that mean? Do I have to be another little child? Do I have to go in my mother's womb again? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, what's born of the spirit is spirit. What's born of the flesh is flesh. He was asking what I'm asking you tonight. To give God all your heart and to give all your life to him spiritually. You can't assume, you can't hope, you can't wish your way to heaven. I wish it was that easy. It's not that easy. People die every day with these false assumptions. And we don't want you to have those false assumptions. And we come with love and truth. We love you enough here to tell you the truth. You need to be born again. You need to give your heart, your mind, your will, your emotion, everything to God. I just talked about being generous. God has been generous with you. He's kept you alive for a time such as this. Don't neglect to give God what he demands the most, which is all your heart and all your life. We got a letter because I'm over prison ministry, and prison ministry received a letter from this individual that was sitting in the seat where you're sitting. And he said, Pastor, I'm writing this letter to you because I had a girlfriend and she brought me to church and the altar call was given and I neglected to go forward and I regret it. Because shortly after that, I got in a shootout with one of the cops and I am now doing life in prison. And I know God was calling me to himself. And I neglected that. I want you to warn people. This is what he said. I want you to warn people that sit in the service. Don't neglect that salvation call. Please tell them, Pastor. Please tell them. So, we're telling you. Where do you stand with him? Getting ready for Christmas. Oh my God, the stores are getting ready for Christmas. All this fanfare, Christmas trees, all the toys, everything. But what is the Christmas message? The Son of Man came to die for you and me. He was born in Bethlehem, and he grew up and died for your sin and my sin to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. How grateful are we to receive that salvation? So with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight or in your online and you do not know him, I need you to know him. If you're not sure, you need to be sure. If you're running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. Don't neglect the salvation that's coming your way through this pastor's lips and giving you the gift of life in Jesus. So where will you be? I'm going to count to three, and when I say three and I hit my hands, one, two, three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't care if you've been to church 1,000 times. I don't care if this is your first time. One, if you do not know him, you need to know him. Two, if you're running from him, you need to stop running. Three, raise your hand. Anybody here? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else? Online, raise your hand. You can. There's an indicator there online that you could just raise your hand symbolically online and somebody will get to you. Anybody else? I see 2-3 hands. Anybody else? Come on, be sure. Tonight is the night of your salvation. Okay. I want everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. And those that raise their hand, I want you to come up to the front. I want to greet you. And I want to pray with you. Come right now. Come, come, come. Come on, let's give my hand as they come. Thank you, thank you. Come on. Don't be shy. Don't be shy.
Was bought with the precious blood.
Thank you, thank
Jesus
you. Yeah, come, 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 come on. If you raise your hand, come. Come on. Yes, come, come, come. All over. Yes, thank you. Yes, yes, come. Come on. Come on, church. Give my hand. Come on, yes. Awesome.
Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
Awesome. Look at this. Whole family is coming to the Lord. Come, come. Yes. Right there's fine. To every one of you, look at me, including the little ones. Salvation has come to you in the form of Jesus. Now, I'm going to say a prayer with you. The prayer doesn't save you. Yes, welcome, welcome. The prayer doesn't save you. Faith saves you. You're saying this by faith. You're basically saying, I'm done with you. I'm done with me. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to be born again. God is setting you up for salvation. He's called you amongst us to say, here, I'm yours. And you're saying in your heart, you're mine. So with this, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father God, today's the day of my salvation. Today's the day that I repent from all that I've done wrong. And I come to you humbly. I ask for forgiveness. I ask that you come into my life. Today, I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven. And I'm denying hell. This is the day that the Lord made for me to be saved. And I'm grateful for this salvation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to do what I can't do on my own. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. Here's what we do with individuals that come up. We actually give you a friend. We don't let you just kind of waltz off on your own. We have friends around you. We call them spiritual personal trainers. They're around you. They're here to give you some information, because here's the first thing they're gonna encourage you to do. Get back to church. Get back planted. Get encouraged. See how this word encouraged you and uplifted your spirit. When you get back to church, you're around a beautiful community that loves you to life and doesn't judge you to death. This community is going to be around you. They're going to give you some information. They're going to spend a few minutes of time with you. They're going to invest a little bit of time and give you a plan and a process. And then they're going to let you go. Is that okay? My friend Matt, see Matt? This Italian guy right here, Matt, the leather jacket. He's going to walk you over there to that side, and he's got few moments, and he's going to let you go, okay? God bless you. Thank you, Matt. Come on, let's give him a hand. Thanksgiving week. Come on, church. Thanksgiving. Lord, we are so grateful. We're so grateful. Let us be that kind of individual that never, never neglects to say, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful, Lord. Grateful, Father God, for even the future, because the future is bright. We have hopeful expectation, for our children's children will be blessed. We're planted on good ground, solid ground, where, Father, the winds and the waves and the tide of life will never crash the house of the Lord. We will always have an abundance. We'll have every supply that need according to your riches and glory. This is a season of gratitude, Father God, that it reflect our Thanksgiving feast, the Thanksgiving gatherings, that we're generous with our forgiveness, that we're generous with our love, that we're generous with those that are hard to be generous with. Because like you've forgiven us, we can forgive those that gather in our homes, in the marketplace, in the stores, and pray blessings on them and hopeful expectations that this reflect, Father, everything that we do, because we're conditioned as your people with this hopeful expectation, because one day you'll come soon. And there'll be a church here in San Bernardino welcoming your second coming, and that's the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Come on, let's give them a hand. Let's give them a hand. Thank you tonight. God bless you. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Enjoy your friends. God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.